Let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. If you want to join me, as always, I give you this number every day. Put it in the speed dial. It's 888-914-9149. It's an honor, and it is really a privilege to pray for you. I want to just give you a quick answer prayer. I don't know if you heard the show yesterday. We were praying the chaplet, and I often say, look, we are a spiritual family here, right? We're so connected. Whether you're listening on the East Coast or the West Coast or somewhere in the heartland, whether you're in the North or the South, yeah, we're all united, right? But we're also united globally. And I love when we get emails from people who pray with us in Australia or calls from South Africa. Yesterday, I received a phone call from Beth. She was listening to us in Germany. It was about 10 o'clock at night, German time. And she called up and says, look, I need prayer. I need prayer for my baby. And I asked her how old he was. He was 1 year, 1 year old. And he was on oxygen and had IV fluids. And this poor mother was really worried about her son. It didn't look good, right? So what did we do? We prayed. We took this child to the heart of our Heavenly Father. We offered him the body, blood, the soul, the divinity of his son. And we asked for a miracle. And I said yesterday, I believe, I really felt very strongly yesterday because there were so many prayers of healing, people seeking healing. I just felt the Spirit in a powerful way. I know there were many miracles that unfolded yesterday. And please write to me and tell me about them. Well, less than probably 12, 14 hours later, I'm checking my email early this morning. I get an email from Germany. And who is it? It's Beth. And she writes, Drew, I just want to thank you for your kind words yesterday, and thank you for praying for my baby, Sullivan, my son, Sullivan. I'm happy to let you and all those who are praying with you know. He was taken off of oxygen and off of IV fluids this morning, and he might be able to come home tomorrow. She says, thank you. You know, she said, thanking Chris, who prayed the chapel with me. She says, thank you and Chris and everyone who prayed for my son last night. I will continue to pray for all of your intentions at Relevant Radio. Beth, we're so glad you got through. And we'll continue to pray for your total recovery of your son. But that's an answer to prayer. I mean, the child was on oxygen and IV fluids. He's going to be in the arms of his mother tomorrow, huh? Just hours away. That's the power of God's prayer. That's the power of this chaplet. I say it to you all of the time. Received another email. This one came from a deacon, and he says, Drew, about 4 months ago, our Relevant Radio family prayed for premature twins in Texas. Just got word that the little boy is coming home today, and tomorrow his sister follows. Both are on oxygen. They've got good hearing. Their eyes are going to be tested in months ahead. Just want to thank you, and may the wounded, merciful heart of God bless you. So we see these answer prayers. One other one, he says, we're finally getting our tax refund. This person wrote a little while ago and said, the IRS adjusted the amount that we owed. I'm so grateful. See, God can work miracles, right? He can work miracles of health. He can surprise you with finances. You know, that tax, you know, penalty that you owe can suddenly become a tax refund. That's the way it goes. But he goes on, and Robert wrote to me, he says, I've got to call the sheriff about them selling my bull at auction, he says. They marked him as a stray, and they sold him without notifying me. It's a felony. So I need about $3,500 to $4,500 to get another one. I'm being offered $775 is what I get for my calves. Could you pray for that? Certainly will. We'll pray for those remedies. You don't happen to have Patrick's testimony queued up, do you, Maggie? This morning, my colleague Patrick Madrid shared a tweet that he had on the air. And I want to pray for children. I mean, we're seeing the miracles that are happening here today, right? Hearing how many babies are being healed and how things are taking place. There was a brokenhearted mother who went to adoration. She didn't even know. She wasn't even Catholic, right? To pray for her child who was in real, real need. Patrick shared part of this email. I'll share it with you. We'll pray for this intention as well. Listen.
I saw this on Twitter. Check this out. This is from a faithful servant. He says, a woman I've never seen in our parish walked into adoration last night with a beautiful baby. I was the only one there. She sat and was instantly emotional in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I normally don't speak to anyone in adoration, but I was moved to speak to her. She told me her baby was just diagnosed with cancer and she was petrified. I asked her if she wanted me to pray with her. She said yes. We prayed for an hour and left together. I found out she was not Catholic. I asked her how she ended up in adoration, and you know what she said? She said she Googled, "Where can I find Jesus?" and it directed her to an adoration chapel at our parish. She asked me, "Was that really Jesus in there?" And I looked her in the eye and I said, "Without a doubt. I don't know why God places me in these situations, but he does." I gave her my wife's cell number and asked her to call and call this lady to see how she could help. My wife is meeting with her today over coffee. Please pray for my wife as she helps this single mom and a sick baby for mom and child.
Let's pray for that baby. Let's pray for that mom. I love the way she was drawn to our Lord. You never know how God's going to reach out. You never know when the Lord's going to use you personally to speak to someone. My sister-in-law was in the back of church. Her, you know, my wife and her sister's mother passed away. Oh, it was the anniversary of her death not too long ago. And I guess she was in the back of church, and she thought she was quiet and by herself, and she was crying. She missed her mother. And somebody saw her, came up to her and says, I don't know your situation. I don't know what you're going through, but here, I want to give you this. And gave her a beautiful little St. Benedict bracelet and told her she was going to pray for her. And that had a profound impact on her. Show kindness, show love, show mercy. Pray for others whenever you have an opportunity to. And let's do that now, all right? Let's pray for each other in this very moment. We'll go ahead and do this. I'm joined by my colleague, Preston. And Preston, good to have you with me. Thanks for yeah. praying. Anything you want to lift up?
I'll pray today for my grandpa, who's struggling with dementia and other ailments, and just all those people that are struggling with that condition.
Such a good prayer. And another email came in here very quickly. I want to pass this along. Would you please pray for my wife and I? This person says, we're approved for a mortgage loan since June of 21. We've been making offers, but the sellers chose another offer, which is higher than ours. We've been constantly praying to St. Joseph. Can you please pray for us? Pray for all those looking for new homes, all those with financial problems today as well. And we'll begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Take our first call today. It comes from Mary, listening in Norwalk, California. Mary, good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. You know, I suffer from diabetes and blood pressure, and now they tell me I've got trouble with my kidneys, and I have been trying so hard to control all my medical problems, but they don't seem to help. So I'm asking for prayers for all my medical problems. I would appreciate this very much, Drew.
Well, you got it. It's an important prayer, and you're doing your best. That's the first thing. We all have to do it, right? And we'll put the rest in the hands of the Lord. So, Lord, I give you Mary. I pray for anyone who is diabetic, anybody who has blood pressure issues, high cholesterol. I pray for anyone who's having trouble finding the right medication, the right treatment, the right procedure. You know, and I just pray for those right now, Lord, who know that their medical condition is beyond the scope of their control. And I place these sick, these needy, these these ill individuals, Lord, in your merciful heart. And I ask for healing again today. We saw it yesterday. And I pray again that today be a day of abundant blessing and abundant healing. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Corey, listening in Clearwater, Minnesota. Hi, Corey. Thanks for praying with us.
Hi. Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I would like to pray for my daughter. She recently put in for a religious exemption, and I'm just praying that it's accepted. It's been really difficult. She's in a medical program. She has 5 months left, and if she's being threatened to be kicked out of her program, and she just really loves what she's doing, and it's just she's already had COVID, and she just is really concerned about the vaccine, and I just pray that her exemption will be accepted, and also everybody else that's being negatively affected by mandates.
Corey, thank you. I'm grateful for your call. We talked mandates right before the chapel. I'll talk a little bit more about this coming up with Dr. Bhattacharya after we pray. And we'll pray about, natural immunity such as your daughter had. And Lord, I lift up right now this intention because it's a much bigger intention. It's not just about her daughter. It's about the rise of secularism in our country right now, the rejection of one of those fundamental rights we have as Americans, and that's a right to religious liberty, the practice of it. And I pray that her religious exemption be honored. I pray for the conversion of this nation, for the conversion of our leaders, the conversion of world leaders, that you hold your hand back, your hand to justice, instead shower us with your mercy. Be merciful to this country. But I give you Corey and all of her personal intentions, those of her daughter, and all those now crying out with me as well. Hear our prayers as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Well, before we go to the next call, we'll go to Maggie, who's watching our Twitter feed. And you can send your intentions to me in our show box, our inbox, at drew@relevantradio.com. You can also put them at Twitter, @DrewMariani Show. Just do a quick search for that, and Maggie will read this. I want to sneak one quick intention in, Maggie, before I go to you, and that's this.
Sure.
This came in. This person writes, could you please pray for Vicky B? She's fighting sepsis, a sepsis infection. But listen to this. They may have to cut off her feet and her fingers.
Oh, no.
They may have to cut off her feet and her fingers. Please pray for a full recovery. I can't imagine losing your hands and your feet. So, Lord, right now I just pray for this woman. And by the virtue and the passion of your Son, I just pray that this blood condition reverse, healing come to her, and she can rejoice in your great mercy. Maggie, what else is coming in?
Luigi's asking for prayers for her, for his daughter to sell their home. Gilbert's thanking God that he had a checkup recently, and it looks like his health is doing well. Let's pray for continued healing for him. Jeffrey's asking for prayers for his brother-in-law's grandmother, Charlotte. She's in her 90s, and she's not doing well. Deb's asking for prayers for Dan Miller. He's got COVID, and his family is deciding right now whether or not to take him off of life support. PA Dodd wrote to us and asked for prayers for her son, Alex, who will be 18 years old this week, and he's been going through some emotional, physical, and mental issues. We did get a note from an anonymous listener who said there have been papers of great financial importance to his family that are missing. He's been looking for days without luck and is at a loss. But in addition, the problem feeds into a much bigger problem in the family that there's a lot of tension and fighting. So he's worrying about the effect that that might have on their children. So pray that those papers might be found and that the family can come back together. Peg is asking for prayers for her dad, who only has one kidney, and they're just asking for complete restoration of that kidney. He's not doing well. And Emmanuel's asking for prayers for his 11-year-old niece, Jocelyn, who's been suffering with brain cancer for a while, and she's lost mobility on her right side and has been suffering with her image.
Let's pray for all those intentions. Maggie, thank you. Thank you for writing. And we'll sneak Martha in as well. She's listening in Texas. Martha, thanks for praying with us.
Thank you, Drew. I pray for you and all at Relevant Radio. Also, our little town has a small church, St. Elizabeth in Bonham. Carol Monte has been a servant there for decades. Mm-hmm. She has a grandson, Jeremy, and his wife, Amanda. They're in their 30s. They have four children and is taking care also of Amanda's sisters, three children. And Jeremy is in the hospital with COVID. He is on a ventilator and they're putting him on dialysis. Carol also just lost her husband recently, so please pray for this family.
You got
Amanda
it.
And Jeremy, plus my five children and grandchildren, are away from the church. I pray for their mental, physical, and especially spiritual health. Thank you, Drew.
You got it, Martha. I'm glad you called. We're going to bring these intentions to the Lord. Unite them to all who now pray with us. And Lord, you heard Martha. You know all of our needs. You know our hearts, Lord. So we give them to you as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to the frozen tundra next. That's Green Bay, Wisconsin. Robert is calling for prayer. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. My wife's going to be on dialysis by the end of the year, and she has to have the surgery to join her artery and her vein to get ready for that inevitability.
Wow.
The doctor is worried about putting her under because of other physical conditions that she has, so just ask for a successful procedure and that the dialysis prolongs her life for a long time, and please pray for others who are on dialysis as well for the same result.
Robert, you got it. You have my deepest prayers. My heart goes out to you as a husband, and especially for your wife. And we'll pray not just for a successful surgery. She said that. I thought, yeah, we can certainly do that, but let's pray for healing. All right? Let's pray for a complete and stunning reversal of your wife's health and her conditions. And Lord, I just ask you, bless this man. You fortify him. You give him the grace he needs for whatever you want for this couple in the days ahead. But I also bring these souls to you, Lord, as I do every day. And with such trust, I believe you hear these prayers. I just pray for many miracles to unfold. So please hear the prayers of Robert and all who now join with me as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
There's so many calls of dialysis and diabetes today and kidney and renal problems. And, you know, when that happens, we've seen that when people were missing. We've seen that with organ transplants. We've seen it with all these weird things. There's like almost a current, and it's the way the calls come in. I think God's working, and I'm going to really ask for real healing in those areas. Let's grab one more call. We'll go to Karen in Madison, Wisconsin next. Karen, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And you're in my prayers.
Thank you.
I wanted to first tell you, I made one call to you once before for my daughter's mother-in-law who was not expected to make it overnight. I got on the call and you prayed for her, and she made it, and she's living today.
Well, glory to God. Wow, that's great.
So I have two other reasons to call today.
Okay.
I'm at the hospital with my husband who's in intensive care.
Oh, no.
He's a diabetic. He's on dialysis right now as we speak. His kidneys failed, and he has afibrillation.
Mm-hmm.
And early this morning, he stopped breathing. He's on a breathing tube, and I'm praying for healing. And the second thing I'm praying about, I'm Thanksgiving because a priest came and baptized him today for the first time.
Praise
he was
God.
Here in RCIA.
Oh.
And so he was baptized, and he received confirmation also.
Oh, praise God. Well, Karen, I am really sorry for what you're going through. I can't imagine it, especially with your husband in such critical condition. But I'm glad you got through. I think it's providential that you got through, and I'm grateful for that answered prayer. I mean, Lord hears prayers. You know, that woman is home and alive today, wasn't supposed to make it overnight. Lord, I give to you Karen. I give to you her husband on dialysis. I give you every soul now dealing with kidney issues, kidney failure, any sort of renal problem whatsoever. Lord, I give you thanks for the ways that you heal, especially for this baptism and confirmation of her husband. But again, I bring to you the sick today. And Lord, there have been so many healings. I bring to you these souls to you, Lord, to the font of your mercy, to those healing waters that flowed from your pierced heart, Lord. And I just ask that these souls receive grace to endure their crosses, but above all, that we can see the miracles that are about to unfold. You know, the Lord told Faustina, he says, my daughter, let souls know that the greater the misery of the soul, the greater the right that they have to my mercy. And these are tough situations you're going through. You have a right to the Lord's mercy. He says, souls that trust in that unfathomable abyss of mercy, I want to save them. You know, I want to save them. I want to pour my grace upon them. So, Lord, I thank you for those graces. I give to you the needs, wants, desires, intentions, longings, and what's best for all the souls who now unite with me in prayer. And we turn to you with trust and pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Father Ubald,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. I mean, I want you to do a favor. When God answers those prayers, and I'm really expecting miracles. I really am. I feel it very strongly. Felt it yesterday, and we had that wonderful miracle. We just heard more of these. As God is answering your prayers, as those missing papers are found, as the medical condition reverses, as the relationship is mended, whatever it might be, the job is given, write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Just put answered prayer or say Thanksgiving. Just highlight it so I see it. And we'll rejoice in that as well. When I return, Dr. Bhattacharya is going to be stopping by, and we'll take a look at the latest with COVID. I want to talk about something. You know, you might have been sick with COVID and have recovered. So in theory, you have natural immunity. How long does it last, right? My daughter, my son had it. My daughter was thinking about a vaccine, and I'm like, well, you might have natural immunity. You may not need that vaccine. Are there concerns about fertility with women and vaccines? Should you not get a vaccine if you have natural immunity? So we'll talk about natural immunity versus vaccinated immunity and much, much more. So stay with me. That conversation begins right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
There was a study that came out of Israel about natural immunity, and basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone. What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected, and now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that. That's something that we're going to have to discuss regarding the durability of the response. The one thing the paper from Israel didn't tell you is whether or not, as high as the protection is with natural infection, what's the durability compared to the durability of a vaccine?
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was Dr. Fauci, of course, speaking with Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN, a couple weeks ago, commenting on natural immunity. A lot of people are beginning to ask what I think is a really important question when it comes to COVID. What if I had it? Right? What if I had COVID? I know I have, right? I've lost the smell, or I lost my taste, or I went to the doctor, they told me I had it, I had a quarantine. What about natural immunity, right? Of course, we've often quoted a lot of studies that have been done on how much more efficacious natural immunity is over vaccinated immunity. But I thought we'd talk about it today. I thought we'd take a look at what the science says. There are a lot of things to get into today, and I want to open the phones for you, too. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya is going to be stopping by in a minute. You can tune in and call in at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. It's funny, you might remember Dr. Jay. He's been on the program here frequently since the pandemic started. We're so grateful for his time. I was watching a news broadcast over the weekend, and it was early in the morning. I had gotten up really early because I'd hurt my back, right? And I turned the TV on, and who do I see on screen? Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, right? And I'm thinking, wait a minute, he's in California, right? It had to be like 3 a.m. for the guy. I felt so bad for him. But yeah, he feels this obligation almost to really bring truth to the issue, to bring light to an area where there's so much confusion. And I'm always so grateful for his time. And as you know, at least once a week, I try to give you the latest news, bring you up to speed, and give you an opportunity to explore all that's unfolding when it comes to COVID-19. Let me bring you up to speed on just a couple stats here that might give you some perspective. Johns Hopkins University, right? They have this COVID tracker, and I've been looking at this thing since COVID first erupted, right? Right now, they say 42.5 million people in the U.S. have been diagnosed with the disease. 42.5, right? Almost 43 million people. Or, you know, since the pandemic started, or some, you know, I think it might even be a little bit higher than that, sometime or whenever the thing goes back. But bottom line is 13% of the population, right? They also say that 55.5% of the total population has been vaccinated. And that's not as low as it sounds, because the vaccines have only been approved, right, for kids that are 12 and up. So if you eliminate 15%, that brings it up to about 70% of those who are eligible have been vaccinated. So if you're listening, I'm assuming 7 out of 10 people listening right now have been vaccinated, right? 70% of those eligible to be vaccinated have. Now, here's the thing. And I'm always trying to think and look at where this leads and try to address some of the questions that ultimately pop up. People who've had the disease and have gotten over it now have natural immunity. I was sharing the story of my daughter, right? She had COVID. She had every symptom, blue nails. She couldn't smell. You know, she couldn't taste. You know, she had the headache. She had the fever. She had it all. She quarantined in the house with my wife, Kathy, and I. And neither of us got it. And I often share the story. I said, you know, it's so weird. The day before she got sick, we were having dinner. And I think I finished her dinner because she wasn't hungry. I'm like, you're not going to finish that? I'll have that, right? When her test came back and she was positive for COVID, my wife held up a sign and said, oh, you are so in trouble, right? I was doing my broadcast live from the radio studio that I have set up at my home, the remote studio during the pandemic. I thought, oh, well, you know, we're all going to get it. She's in the house, right? And never got it. But now she has natural immunity, and she was talking about the vaccine. And I just said to her, look, do your due diligence on it. You know, you have natural immunity. Do you need the vaccine? Will there be a different vaccine in the future that's more, more effective against variants? And are there concerns for some women regarding fertility? And as I said, I'll ask Dr. Jay Bhattacharya some of these questions. But, you know, natural immunity, let's talk about it. Your body gets a certain type of flu or viral pneumonia or whatever, right? The next time it comes about, right, your immune system kicks in. If it's working properly, it recognizes it and you know, you survive. So those 42 million people that have had COVID-19 and survived, whatever the variant it is, should have the necessary information in their bodies to combat whatever variant is going to come at them. At least that's the way it should work, depending on how the thing mutates. But that's always the way that science works, right? A number of studies show that people who've had the disease are far more capable of fighting it off than people who've been immunized. I've quoted the Israeli study over and over again. A study done in Israel, one of the most vaccinated nations on the planet, they say that those who have gotten COVID are 13 times more likely to be protected than even the vaccinated. 13 times better at doing what that recent study says that, about the vaccinations. So here's the thing. The natural immunity is not being recognized by the government or by businesses. So even if you've had the disease and have beaten it, and many, many corporations, companies, even churches are now requiring that you get vaccinated, I thought we can look at this and see where it all leads. And, of course, we'll take your questions. It's good to have back with us Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. He teaches at the Center for Primary Care and Outcomes Research at Stanford University School of Medicine. Doctor, thanks for being here. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you. Great pleasure to be here.
Thanks for getting up at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. or whatever time it was to do that television hit. It was good to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to be on in the afternoon, actually.
Yeah, you know, you did a great job, and I'm grateful for how much time you give us. Natural immunity. Let's start there. My daughter in particular, she said to my wife, oh, I think I'm going to get vaccinated. And I said, well, you do have natural immunity. So the question is, how long does it last? How powerful is it in protecting people that had it? I'm looking at the numbers. There's a lot of vaccinated Americans, and there's also a lot of people that have already had, probably have natural immunity. So break it down for us.
Sure. So the evidence seems to indicate that if you've had COVID and recovered from it, you are protected for quite a long time. There's a couple of studies I've looked at recently that I think one was in the UK and one in Qatar that showed that at 1 year, people who had COVID and recovered, only 0.3% of the people had got it again. And when they got it again, it was much less severe. It was like, well, I think only one person was hospitalized on that reinfection. So natural immunity is durable and strong. I heard you play a clip by Dr. Fauci where he said he didn't know, but that's actually contrary to what the actual scientific evidence has shown, which is that it is quite strong, quite durable. When you recover from COVID, you are protected against both reinfection and also severe reinfection.
Wow, fascinating. All right, my guest, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, we will take your calls. So if you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Katie's listening in San Diego, doctor. Let's bring our callers in right away. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you? I love your show, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I wanted to just put my comment as a licensed nurse for 25 years, having seen a lot, that when you recover from any virus, you have lifelong immunity. You still will have that memory of that virus. I'm 62. I had measles. Why am I not catching measles again? And I live by the border, by Mexico, where you would think it's around. Because your body innately is so much more intelligent than arrogant man's ego with their artificial immunity. I'm not sure what's going on. And another big thing I have about the hospitals as a nurse, people that come in with a sick loved one should be able to stay if they had COVID and they have antibodies. The vaccine's very iffy. And I myself, this is just my personal opinion, I call it a failed vaccine. Why? Because who in the world needs a booster shot after 6 months? Go back to the drawing room, back to the chalkboard, and come up. That's why safe and effective vaccines take 3.5 at best to 5 years. We didn't do nearly enough studies. And if you look at the VAERS, the vaccine adverse reaction, it's not a clinic, but it's a center. If you look them up, you will start seeing. I just buried two cousin and two friends, a healthy male nurse, 48 years old, that I formerly worked with. He took the vaccine. And he died. And he's not the only one. Buried my cousin in New Jersey from it. He was doing just fine. And I have a friend, and he's a Marine Hornet pilot. Fit, healthy, like a professional athlete.
Right.
They coerced him into it. And he only had the first one. I said, get out. Do whatever you have to, because you will be dead by the second one. He is only in his mid-30s and healthy. The peak of healthiness, he shouldn't even be getting the vaccine.
All right.
And he's sick. Sick as a dog. So I would say if you have antibodies and you take artificial immunity, you're setting yourself up for a world of hurt and a future autoimmune disease. That's my opinion.
Wow. Right.
I just want to make that clear so no one's fearful. Katie, as a licensed professional myself.
Yeah, no, thank you. Katie, again, is a nurse of 25 years. Doctor, you heard her lay that out. There's a lot in there, and I'd like to address some of the points that she made. But let's talk about vaccinations and why you do need boosters. I think of, let's say, typhoid. Let's take tetanus. You take your tetanus shot, right? It's good for 10 years. You don't need another one until 10 years. But if you have an influenza shot, you know, you get your yearly flu. That's every year. You know, there's Hep A, there's typhoid, there's all these different vaccinations you get. Why do certain vaccinations run only a certain length of time? And let's address that point first, and why after 8 weeks or 8 months you need a booster, and that's what the federal government was trying to propose. They've dialed back on that. The FDA said no, not so fast. But I'd love your take on that aspect of what you just said.
Sure. So when you get, how does a vaccine work? A vaccine works by presenting to your body a snippet of the virus that you're trying to protect against, or the bacteria you're trying to protect against, and your body reacts to it by producing not just antibodies, but also other immune mechanisms like B cells and T cells that remember, just as Katie said, that when you are exposed then to the full virus or the full bacteria, it protects you against your immune function then sort of engages and protects you against the full force of that disease. Over time, your immune function may start to forget. I mean, with excellent vaccines, it takes a very long time before it starts to forget. You produce an enduring immune function. You won't necessarily have antibodies floating around your body forever, but what you will have is cells that can produce antibodies that are specific to the bacteria or the virus or whatever that the vaccine protects you against. This vaccine, what it seems, it's a curious thing. So what the evidence seems to suggest is that it produces a short-term antibody response, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months, during which you are protected against infection. But by 5 or 6 months, the antibody response more or less disappears, and you're no longer protected against all infection. You can then, even though you're vaccinated, you can still get sick. However, it still produces like T cells and B cell responses that continue to protect you against severe disease. So even at 6 months, if you've been vaccinated, you're much less likely to die if you get infected. You're much less likely to be hospitalized if you're infected. I'll just give you a personal example. I was vaccinated in April, and I got sick in August. And it was a pretty bad cold. I had a fever for a few days, lost my sense of smell. I was tired, and then after a week and a half, I was feeling much, much better.
But it wasn't COVID? It was just a cold?
It was COVID.
So you were vaccinated, then got COVID?
Yeah, I got COVID. I lost my sense of smell. It was COVID. So, the point is that you can be vaccinated and get COVID again. But the disease is less severe. I wonder what it would have looked like if I hadn't had the vaccine. I probably would have been much sicker. So it's the vaccine then is a curious vaccine. This is not a vaccine unlike some of the other vaccines you were talking about that will protect you for a very long time. This is a vaccine that will protect you for a short period of time against infection, but will continue to protect you against severe disease. I still very strongly recommend the vaccine, because what we care about from COVID is that people did get really sick and die or hospitalized from it. The vaccine gives long-lasting protection against that. The question that you started the show with is a really interesting one. Suppose you already had COVID and you're recovered. Do you still need the vaccine? The randomized trials that looked at this.
Well, doctor, hold on one second. Let me just hold you on that thought. I want you to answer that. I want to give you the room to do that on the other side. I have to take a short break. If you've had COVID, you have the natural immunities, do you need the vaccination? We'll explore that. We'll take more of your calls. I also want to talk about Katie's other comments there about people who've gotten really sick, like the person we just heard. That's one of the big fears, like to dispel some of them if they're not legitimate. But we'll take a look at it. My guest, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, we're exploring the latest when it comes to COVID, taking a look at the efficacy of natural immunity and whether or not you need a vaccination.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for being here. Let's take a deeper look at COVID. Have you had it? My guest, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, has had it, and then he got sick. He got COVID-19 after the vaccination. He got vaccinated, then he got it. Jesse Jackson, a lot of other people have had this. We've talked about these breakthrough cases. If you weren't vaccinated, would it have been even worse? Could it have been life-threatening? Were those symptoms mitigated because of the vaccination? Some vaccines last a lifetime. Why doesn't COVID-19 last a lifetime? We're looking at some basic questions, including immunity. Special natural immunity. Do you need a vaccination if you have natural immunity? How long does that last? Doctor, I want to pick up with a conversation you and I were having, and in response to the one caller who called in too, with autoimmune responses. There's a lot going around right now. People concerned that if they get the vaccine, they're going to get lymphoma, or after being vaccinated, you're going to have the next disease to come. You're going to have an autoimmune response to it. There's a lot of stuff buzzing out there. Can you bring some clarity to some of these things? Competent people saying, hey, look, I'm worried about what's going to happen.
been around, you know, basically in widespread circulation and population for maybe 9 months. There's a lot still left to be learned about the vaccines. You learn about vaccines by using them. So I can completely sympathize with your caller's concern about this and many people's concerns about this. What I'll just tell you is that there are serious people who are looking very, very, very carefully at the data. And so far, there have been two major side effects that have been found with the vaccine. One is the myocarditis in young, especially young boys from the mRNA vaccines. The myocarditis is inflammation of the heart. It's a serious condition, and it happens in about between 1 in 5,000 or 1 in 10,000 vaccination doses for young boys and young men with the mRNA vaccines. And the other is some clotting abnormalities, especially with the J&J vaccine, the AstraZeneca vaccine, is mainly in women, actually, older women and middle-aged women. So you have those two have been identified. The reason they've been identified so easily is because you don't ever have myocarditis in young men. That just is not a thing that should happen to young men or boys. And so when you see an uptick, you can immediately say, okay, among the vaccinated, you have a control group. You say, okay, the unvaccinated had no uptick, the vaccinated did. Oh yeah, that's you have this. Right. It's harder to identify upticks in situations where the disease is already common in the population, right? So for instance, like heart attacks, does the vaccine cause heart attacks? Well, if you have an older population that has a heart attack, a high rates of heart attack, identifying the signal from the noise is a difficult thing.
Right.
So let's put this all in perspective. The question always in medicine is always uncertainty around a medication or a vaccination. You always have asking what am I getting versus what am I giving up, right? So like harm versus benefit. There's always a trade-off in medicine. Here you have a disease, COVID, that is very deadly for older people. You're willing to put up with more uncertainty about the vaccine because it's protecting older people against severe disease. It's saving their lives. Whereas for younger people, it's much harder to make that claim. I mean, like, it's much less deadly in younger people. And so, you know, you wouldn't put up with very much uncertainty around that. So it's a complicated thing because the answer, should I get the vaccine, should I be worried about the long-term side effects, depends on the situation you find yourself. If you're older, I think the answer is definitely yes, because COVID is so deadly in older people. If you're younger, I mean, I can understand being nervous and concerned about whether to get it.
All right, we'll go back to the phones here, too. Melissa's listening in Tinley Park, Illinois. Melissa, thanks for your patience.
Oh, thank you, Drew. I appreciate you taking my call. Dr. J, I had a concern on the people with Rh-negative blood. I've been reading different reports and data that seems to support almost a natural immunity for people that have Rh-negative. There was a difference in if it was A, B, or O, but definitely seemed that there definitely wasn't a positiveness about having that blood that you didn't get COVID that well, you know, or that easily, I should say. What were your thoughts on that?
Thanks for that question. So early in the epidemic, there was some correlation studies that looked at that and found a slight correlation. I think it was like were protected relative to AB. When larger studies have come out in the last few months, that they've not been able to replicate that finding. So I think that while people were thinking along those lines based on the early evidence, that I don't think people are any longer thinking. At least I'm not thinking along those lines at this point. But that's a great question. Yeah. It's clear you're following the literature very carefully.
All right, Melissa, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Jeff's listening in Wisconsin. Jeff, good afternoon. Hey, Jeff.
Hello. I had the blood test after a physical. And I had what's called the quantitative level, mm-hmm. and it proved that I had antibodies to fight the spikes of the coronavirus. I had a level of about 114 units per milliliter, so I'd like to understand more what that means, but also want to tell you that I had a mild case of COVID last summer.
Right.
So the test that I just got in September is like 13 months after I had a mild case. Also, quickly, if you had kids, wouldn't this be a good idea to run this quant test to see if they had it?
All right.
So that's a great question. So what the way that you interpret that is that that means that you have antibodies that are floating around your body that will protect you against COVID if you were to be or against the SARS-CoV-2 virus if you're exposed, right? So the virus that causes COVID. The fact that it lasts 13 months long, typically, actually, often the antibodies tend to fade. So that your high level of antibodies suggests to me that you may actually have been reinfected and you didn't even know it. That boosted your antibodies levels up higher again, or you weren't, and you just have had this like extensive long term durable protection like we talked about early. I think the evidence is very strong that being infected and recovering provides you with a very very long term robust immunity, both against infection and severe disease. Actually, if people are talking about vaccine mandates, this is interesting. The evidence to date, I think, shows that if you have a group of people that have not been vaccinated but have recovered from COVID, you're actually likely to be safer in terms of getting COVID from them than you are to be in a group of vaccinated people who have never had COVID before.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Yes.
I didn't mean to stun you, doctor. I'm stunned by that.
Yeah, it's really a striking fact, but that's the implication of the studies that are coming out. Actually, Drew, can we talk one more time about whether you should get vaccinated if you've already had COVID?
Yes, and I hate to do this to you. I don't
know. Oh, no,
we
not
should
again.
Have answered that when we came back. When we come back, that's the first thing we are going to do. All right?
Okay,
and then,
thanks, Drew.
Dr. Antonio, listening in Rhode Island, he's on deck. The death numbers, I saw a really revealing piece on the numbers that are being reported. I've got questions about how accurate they are. We'll look at that, too.